It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. When it comes to the subject of death, many of us feel uncomfortable discussing our mortality or that of our loved ones. But places called death cafes are beginning to pop up in different cities. They are places where people gather to talk about death and how the thought of death regularly influences life. Tonight, the Pittsburgh Death Cafe will hold a meeting in Shadyside. They started meeting last fall. This is their fourth meeting that they're holding tonight. And I'm joined now in studio by the co-organizers, Rachel Butler and Carolyn Thompson. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Now, how did each of you get into the world of talking about and researching death and end-of-life experiences?
Well, I was... Carolyn.
Carolyn talking.
Yeah. I was in events for a lot of my career.
Events.
I was a caterer, and okay. I spent a lot of time planning life events. So in my career, I started thinking a lot about how we spend a lot of money and time planning our life events, like birthdays and weddings and bar mitzvahs, and we spend not very much time talking about end-of-life events like funerals. So I actually became a funeral director and have moved into the death care profession. But I wanted a forum where I could talk about my own experiences. And so one of our other co-coordinators, Kristen Hauman, and I were talking about starting a death cafe here.
Do we really avoid the subject of death? I don't necessarily, I mean, it's not the easiest thing to talk about, but I don't necessarily get the feeling that we avoid it. But your perspective, Rachel, might be different. What is your sense of it?
Yeah, I think there are, you know, in our society, it's taboo for a lot of people to talk about it. There are a lot of cultures who, and we even hear when we're planning death cafes, like, if I talk about death, am I going to die? That's a real concern from people.
I think we definitely all think about that, for sure.
I can tell you a living example, no pun intended, that I talk about death each and every day, and I'm still alive. So if that's any testament to but yeah, I think for a lot of people, there is a lot of anxiety, you know, the fear of the unknown. It's just kind of the million-dollar question of what's going to happen to us. And so giving people permission to talk about it, people tend to say a lot once they have
permission.
That.
So this is in a sense empowering people to discuss a topic that scares them.
Absolutely.
And I mean, none of us are, you know, looking forward to that. At least I don't think so, or hopefully we're not. But this is something that, you know, I was reading about this. It seems to be something that is popular in Canada. I was reading about a couple different cafes, one that opened in London, Ontario, another one in Vancouver. But what are they? What exactly happens? So if I go to this meeting in Shadyside tonight, what's going to go on?
Yeah, well, you've been doing some research, so thank you. But the Death Cafe movement really started in about 2011 in the UK by a man named John Underwood and his mother, I believe her name is Sue Barsky Reed, and really just gathering people, often strangers, together. We drink coffee and tea, we eat cake, we have a great time, and we really just have an open forum for talking about anything related to death that people are wondering about, that's been weighing on their minds. If you were to come tonight, we're meeting at the Pittsburgh Friends Meeting House at 6:30 on Ellsworth Avenue. And so we'll start with refreshments at 6:30, start the conversation at 7. We break up into smaller groups, just kind of have some group discussion, whatever is really kind of the burning question on people's minds. We talk about all kinds of stuff.
And what makes a good death cafe session?
I think where people are bringing their own thoughts and ideas and sort of spending as much time talking as they are listening, and sort of if a thread of conversation or a theme comes up, people can sort of explore it together and see what ideas come up for them.
Are men and women different when it comes to dealing with death and discussing death? Rachel.
Absolutely.
How so?
There is some research out there, you know, in gender differences, especially on grieving. And that also goes for talking about death. I feel like women naturally are a little more nurturing, open-minded, have a lot more position in death care. We see a lot of men dominating the funeral service industry, but a lot more women are entering as end-of-life doulas. And so I think just within our own groups, we've seen seen some differences. It's a good mix of people. Carolyn?
Men tend to want more structure to the conversation. They want a topic, and they often say, let's bring an expert in.
Yeah,
and we sort of laugh and say, well, who would the expert on death be?
It might be someone like you, Carolyn. I mean, you are, as an employee in the death care industry, what advantages are there for people who talk about death and prepare for death? Because there's a practical side to this, right?
There is a practical side. I mean, definitely talking about it, you can start to think about, one, the decisions that you'll make at the end about your own health and your end-of-life decisions, but also how you want to be remembered, what you want to have done with your body after you're dead. You know, all of those practical things definitely come into play.
And what is an just so people, just to be clear for people, for our listeners, what is an end-of-life doula?
Sure. There is a growing movement of people who really step in near the end of someone's life to assist in helping them make meaning out of their life and their death, to assist the family with preparing the body for burial, for a memorial. I think that area is pretty dominated by women at this point.
Yeah.
And for folks that want to join our conversation with a comment or a question for our guests, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002 to talk with the co-organizers of Pittsburgh's Death Cafe. It's happening in Shadyside tonight. And again, our guests are Rachel Butler and Carolyn Thompson. They're the co-organizers of this. 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Have these death cafes informed the way you live your life at all? And I would direct that to both you, Rachel and Carolyn, or the lives of some of the other people that you've met with. The discussing death somehow give you a greater sensitivity about life and the amazing thing that it is?
Sure. So when I really started getting involved in end-of-life issues, volunteering with hospice, working with death cafes, the response I get from people is like, wow, that must be really depressing. And I really think it's the opposite. I've developed an immense sense of gratitude in working with people who are dying and their families. And just talking about these issues, I feel like really opens my mind to an acceptance, creating kind of a death positive culture, if you will. You know, there's so much to love about life, and death is a part of that.
And you are a researcher at the University of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
So, you know, what kind of research have you done about this? Because death is thought of very differently in other cultures and in other parts of the world than the way we think about it here in the United States, although we have, you know, a variety of religions which look at death differently, you know. So to be an American is not to approach anything in one particular way, death being among those, but it's different around the world over, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, there are many cultures out there who really celebrate death. Death is kind of a fixture of their community. It happens at home. We've really stepped away from that within the last 100 years or so.
Wait a minute. Celebrate death. Are they celebrating the life of the person? Are they celebrating death as the death becomes her or whatever?
I think a lot of that is focused around celebration of life, with death being a part of life, just as birth is a part of life, and just recognizing that and accepting that and bringing the community together, you know, after someone has died and not shying away from it. You know, we in America, a lot of deaths happen in the hospital, a very medicalized event that happens, and it's really taken it away from the community.
What about dealing, though, with the deaths that are tragedies? And you know, I think any death is not something that, well, some people do welcome death for themselves, or others welcome it for that person because they might have been suffering in some way. But there's the death that you have if you're 92, and then there's the death that cuts your life short. That's really dealing with two different things. How do you balance that?
Well, we've seen a movement towards celebrations of life in funeral service, where people are saying, I want to have a gathering. And I think the misconception is that means that they want to have a party necessarily, though it can be. When I die, I want a party.
Sure.
Just so you're aware of it. But
okay, we'll start planning that.
Great. Terrific. I already have, actually. Rachel has my notes. But I do think that it's about celebrating in the sense of really having a reverence and a reflection on the value of a person and what their life meant, And looking at it again as a cycle, that our birth is a celebration and our death is a celebration too.
Joanne in an email writes, she's done research about death and spoken with experts who have said we don't die, we just transform. Do you ever invite mediums to death cafes? Asks Joanne.
Interesting question, Joanne. You know, one of the great things about Death Cafe is we come to it not as subject matter experts, but really just as people who one day will die. And so while we certainly would welcome anyone who is a medium to come and participate in our conversation, we generally don't invite experts or any kind of professional to bring in their professional practice.
412-246-2002 if you want to join the conversation, as the unfortunately the time is fleeting. This is really going by. I understand that you are a volunteer, that you do some volunteer work. What areas of research about death interest you most?
Interesting question. So I work at the University of Pittsburgh, right. Faculty Amber Barnato, fantastic. We work in end-of-life issues, particularly making decisions about medical treatment in the intensive care unit. I'm actually going back to school this fall to do a PhD program, and I'm very interested in focusing on end-of-life care, specifically the places in which we die and how that care is delivered.
All right, let's take a couple quick questions. We have to go fast. Jackie in Mount Lebanon, go ahead very quickly, please. We're almost out of time.
I was just talking about the fear related to death and how when I worked in the hospitals as an oncology massage therapist, how fear seemed to be what fueled the desperation, you know, to stop someone from dying, and it seemed like we take pretty barbaric measures to keep people alive.
Definitely.
What about that? We've got about 30 seconds here. How would you respond to what Jackie just said? Rachel.
Yes, I absolutely agree. There is a lot of fear. I think, you know, in those kinds of situations where we're taking all of these extreme measures to keep people alive, it's a problem where there's lots of people who are studying that right now, trying to figure out how to meet families and patients where they are and provide them the best care possible.
Thank you for answering that question. And unfortunately, with that, we have no more time remaining, but enough to simply to say thank you to our guests, Rachel Butler and Carolyn Thompson, who are the organizers of the Pittsburgh Death Cafe. They're holding a meeting in Shadyside tonight. You can check it out. Thank you very much for being with us, ladies. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Until tomorrow, so long for now.